Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. It was the first evening of resurrection life, and Jesus appeared to his disciples, having already appeared on the road to Emmaus, and they had come and given a report, and there they were speaking of such things, and Jesus comes in their midst. They think they've seen a ghost or a spirit, but then he tells them that it is him indeed in flesh, but do you have something to eat? And all the implications for the new heaven and the new earth, and for the life that we should live. But we'll leave that to other theologians to speak of today and later. But today we move ahead to where Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. Jesus gets to the heart of the matter, and he wants to tell them what the scriptures have to say. This is exactly what I had told you. Everything must be fulfilled in the law of the prophets, in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And then that verse, and then he did what? He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. I'm quite certain there's not a student of the scriptures who hasn't envied and wished that they had been in the room, that they had heard the Christ himself go all through the scriptures and show where he appears and where the prophecies are fulfilled and not one little thing left out. And then he goes on to say, and this is what is written. He sums it all up, that the Christ will suffer and on the third day be raised from the dead. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name in all nations, starting in Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord. And then I got to think about this message that he was sending them out to speak. And I was wondering how the locals might receive it, right? Contextualized ministry. How are they going to get it? What are the hurdles going to be? What are the easy avenues to their heart? And then I started thinking about Holy Week itself, and what would the message be that they would be telling? They would tell about the hero, Jesus, who took a basin of water and washed his pupils' feet. That's odd. He would be telling about how he would be crucified like a common criminal, like a wretch, a scoundrel. Kind of reminds me of, you know, the go-to line of everyone in prison is innocent, you know. And then the message goes on. And 3 days later, he rises from the grave. Of course he did. And in the first century, what is attractive, what is accessible, what makes sense about anything that they are preaching and teaching? And near as I can tell, nothing. It's all outside the realm of their experience. No wonder Paul will say in 1 Corinthians that the Jews are looking for signs and the Greeks are looking for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. But Paul goes on to say in the epistle, to those whom God has called, what was initially perceived as a stumbling block or foolishness is now the power and the wisdom of God. My friends, it doesn't get any better than that. So then after the resurrection, who are the first witnesses? The first witnesses are those who wouldn't be given the time of day in the first century in a court of law. Their word would be worth nothing. It's women, the three women that we met at the end of Mark's gospel yesterday. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. You can't make this stuff up. It doesn't connect. And yet, this is the word to be shared. This is the word that will transform hearts and lives. This is the word that will form communities where love is expressed and self-sacrifice becomes a part of the way of life. And we prepare in this place students to go forward and preach that gospel, looking for the ways, the ways of access, the ways that make sense, the ways of point of contact for the culture of the day. But at the end of the day, the message of the cross, plug in the culture, plug in the time, plug in the people, plug in the paradigm, and it still follows right along with what Paul says. It doesn't connect. It doesn't make sense. So the preacher of the gospel doesn't know at the end of sharing the stuff that he's been told to preach, will the end of that preaching or the end of that conversation, will he be Christ's fool? Or will those who receive it suddenly see a wisdom and a power that they have longed for their whole life, and now they find it in the most unexpected place? Perhaps you've seen the movie Get Smart, or you've seen the television show. Maxwell Smart, he is that agent who seems to bumble along, and somehow it always works out in the end. We don't know how. But he has this way of seeing patterns where they don't really exist. The old such-and-such routine, I saw that coming. And I can just see him explaining Holy Week, and it would go something like this. Oh, the old wash their pupils' feet with water, then die as a criminal on the cross and 3 days later be raised as the savior of the world routine. I saw that coming. We all did. But of course, nobody saw it coming. And there are times when I think that's a terrible thing. It's a horrible thing. Why aren't people anticipating this? Why isn't that I can just say a few words and folks go, ah, yes, of course. And then I think about this time where we get ready to send this next batch of those who have had their minds open, where Christ has been showing how he is in the scriptures, and we're preparing them to connect with the culture around them in the place where they will preach. And all of a sudden it makes sense. The gospel doesn't make sense, so people have to do what? Ask questions and go back deep into the very word where it was hidden all along. I had this very experience during my children's talk on Easter Sunday just 2 days ago. Gathered with all the children around me talking about Christ being risen and what does this mean? And innocently I asked the question, and is Jesus alive today? To one little boy sitting next to me goes, no. That's exactly the response we had on Sunday morning. No, come on, Pastor. How old would he be? There's no way he could be that old. And then we knew where he was, to be able to take the next step, to share what Scripture says, to see how the Spirit's going to stir in his little heart and mind. So the fact that you don't have all the answers is okay, my friends, as you head out on Vicarage, as you head out on your first call, that you know the Christ, and maybe that you know how to ask a question or two, to engage, to have the conversation. Remember what Peter tells us? He says, be prepared, be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. And if we're going to give an answer, it means that somebody's what? Asking a question. So perhaps the days that I enjoyed when I started in ministry, all I had to do was start telling the story, and people would say, oh yeah, I remember that from Sunday school. The dots started coming together. The Holy Spirit took that, and off they went on their next step of faith. And you'll start telling about a Jesus, and about a cross, and about an empty tomb, and you're going to get the same reaction I got from that little boy in the children's message. No. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And he opened their minds so that he could understand the scriptures. It continues to be the prayer of those who love the ministry of this place, including this poor preacher, that this would be a place where those who teach, those who learn, and those who worship continually by the work of the Holy Spirit are having their minds open so that the Christ and the scriptures comes clear. Because you and I know, my friends, that there is a longing deep within your heart and mine, in the heart of everyone who is alive today. We desperately want to be known. We desperately want to be loved. And who would have thought that the God of the universe would answer that question in the greatest acts of servant leadership the world can't even imagine, giving his very self. And then Paul goes on in that same letter to the Corinthians, and he speaks about this meal. And he says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim what? Christ's death. We preach Christ crucified with our words and our sermons. We preach Christ crucified in the holy meal. Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God. Christ who delivers the gifts of God, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.